once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this chilly, breezy, nasty, yucky. What other adjectives can I use for tonight?
Nothing that can be said over the air.
That's true. So it's but it's Wednesday in, you know, January in Ohio, so what the hell do we expect?
Yep.
So, and I welcome Rocker. Hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack. Hi,
Jack. And we are blessed. To welcome into the studio a representative from Racing for Relief, Mr. Alan Seifert.
Hello, how are we doing tonight?
Very good, very good. And Alan, I think we talk at least once a year, maybe even twice a year, about things for, you know, Racing for Relief. And so let's start with how did it all start? X number of years ago.
We originally formed Racing for Relief back in end of 2013, formally started in 2014. They're just a group of people. Got together. We used to be underneath the American Red Cross. By doing that, though, there's just so many loose ends that were always with the Red Cross. Didn't matter how you used their name or what content you put with it, all that stuff had to be approved.
Yeah.
So to lighten that load up, we just created our own nonprofit 501c3. We got together one night. Of course, it didn't take long, and if I recall right, it happened just down the street here. After a few pops that we came up with a name and who we wanted to benefit.
Good. And so right from the get-go, this group knew that it wanted to be like a non-for-profit, and you were going to send all of your proceeds to the local police and fire. Is that right?
It's more fire EMS, so it's the emergency personnel, less the blue side.
Okay.
Not to exclude them, but it does take a little bit of help on our end.
Sure.
That they help us in return, and then they get some funds out of it.
So where did the racing part of it?
Some of these guys, like Mike Osterholt and a few of them other guys, they've been doing this stuff when it was over in Red Cross name out in Indiana. Some of them guys probably been in it for 35 plus years, maybe 40 years. Again, that sort of came over, and they were fundraising over here at the Jubilee, which is in Ohio. Well, once that started, it was easy to continue that because of the great festival here in town, as well as other ones in the county. So it was an easy way to say, hey, let's just continue this. It was not dying, but it was going on the lesser side of things out in Indiana. So we purchased a few things, did some fundraisers, and got the needed equipment to start it up.
Yep. So I am assuming, like, when you look at the amount of income that is you generated now versus what it was in 2014 and 15, there's probably a little bit of difference right now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you moved that decimal point a little bit.
Yeah.
Couple spots.
Yeah, so at the beginning, how much money would you generate during a golf cart season, during a go-kart season?
It really varied depending on how much you wanted to charge them. You didn't want to charge the participants a ton, but you wanted to make some money for what you're doing. You didn't want to put all that time in and get very little out of it, but yet charge them enough where they want to stick around for multiple years. You don't look at something for 1 year. You look at it for multiple years.
Sure.
You get a lot farther. So with that being in mind, then, know, I'm going to say you're probably looking in the neighborhood of $28,000 the first year, $25,000.
Oh, that's good.
And we thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Back then, just starting out. But the way we donated back then was the Mercer County EMS was in one group. The firemen, the Mercer County firemen was in one group, and then the Red Cross. So those were our three initial donors.
Yep.
And they bought big projects as a countywide and not individual departments.
So from a go-kart standpoint, there's a new series of different races during the go-kart season, correct?
That is correct.
So about how many and where would those be at?
It varies from season to season. We're working on trying to get that schedule going now. Hopefully it can be finalized here sometime the end of February. It's going to depend on where the festivals are at. And then it's going to depend on when we can fill in as entertainment. If it's a Thursday, if it's a Friday, or if it's a Saturday. So with that being in mind, you know, normally we start out at the Fort Kirby Jubilee, which is generally a Friday night. With that, we usually follow that up with Country Fest on the Friday night as well. The reason we like the early Friday nights is because we like to do the track prep multiple days in advance. You get a better track. Instead of trying to get something done in 24 hours, you can tell a difference.
Yeah.
And then from there, it all depends on where else we can go. We used to go to St. Henry, and then they did a project over there, and they eliminated that track. So we are no longer racing there, but we always did a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. So there was four races in 3 weekends.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. And then from there, it's just a fill-in. Do you go to someone's backyard and try to do a show? Do you go to Eldora, Little E-Track, to do a show? Do you go to Cridersville? Do you try to get into county fairs? We're open. It's just a matter of what works out for both parties.
Yeah.
Because if it only works for one, it's not worth it. It's got to work for both.
And then, about how many go-kart teams would you have at each race?
Back when we first started out, there was probably 21, 23 of them. And that was all done in one class. So you ran some heat races, and then you ran a B main, and then you ran an A main. Today's world, we got three classes. We still got that original class, but it's the class number of carts has come down. A lot of that may be due to you have pit stops in there, so it's like a relay race, all while you're go-kart racing, so you're jumping in and out under green flag. You and I and a couple other ones around here, that's not feasible for us anymore.
So yeah, we're
looking for other people that would be interested in doing that. But it's a four-person team. It makes a nice entertainment for the crowd as well. And then we got another one we started a few years ago. Used to be a Predator, now it's a stock Honda. It's a one-person driver. There's no getting in and out. You just sit in the seat and go. And then about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they started a minor class. And what's nice that is, you're talking, and we like to say 12-year-olds, but there's some 10-year-olds that are bigger body fit that's not going to flop around in the car safely, and they've been driving. So you're getting started at a younger age, and then once they leave that minor division, which is age 14, once you're 15 in the race season, you're considered an adult. So then you can jump up to the adult, but we don't dare mix minors and adults for liability.
Yeah. So you have, let's say, as many as 6 to 7 races?
Normally it's five.
Five.
But again, we've had six and we've already had seven, but that was one of them extraordinary. Somebody's having an anniversary in their town or something, and they're looking for some entertainment, so we jump on it. But normally it's five. I think, you know, they're talking this year maybe hitting six, but you got to find the places to go first, and that tells you how many. You know, it's a little harder just to show up at somebody's backyard and race, and you don't have near as many fans, you don't have the sponsorship near as quick, versus trying to do it in front of a festival or another event of some sort.
So So if, like, I wanted to go out and get my grandson involved in this, what would I have to stick into a go-kart to make it ready for, like, a race like this?
For a minor?
Yeah.
Go buy yourself a helmet, a neck brace. You know, a full long sleeve shirt so they don't see skin, and some gloves. We own the minor carts.
Okay.
We maintenance those as well. So basically, you can say the kids are paying to play.
Yep.
So, but we're also doing it where on the weekends or nights when we have to maintenance them, we invite the parents and kids so they can see how much work is involved with it. They learn from that, but they also get to see, well, I blew this tire, I blew this rod, so there's $40, here's $20, and they start seeing, well, I got to take care of this stuff because we just replaced $100 of stuff on two different carts. That adds up pretty quick.
Sure, sure. Plus, there's the cost of entering into these things, too.
That is correct. In the past, there was $150. You get a race, five races.
Yeah.
So it's basically $30 a race, but we really push that once you start, then you pay for the rest of them, and you're not just going to try to pick and choose.
Yeah.
So it's fair for everybody. But by doing that, that also goes back to where you can have a championship.
Yeah.
So it entices more people to stay all season, and then it gets a big trophy at the end of the year.
So there's not just the winners of each of the individual races. There's like a series winner too.
Just like NASCAR or the ones at Eldora. They got your certain classes, but you get so many points for being a fastest qualifier. You get a point. There's certain points for heat race wins. We don't do B mains yet because we're not quite built back up to that many.
Yeah.
But then we pay out points to every position as long as you don't disqualify for RPM checks. If you're over on RPMs, unfortunately, you lose your points for that race.
Yeah. And then if I were wanting to do this as an adult and have my own cart, would you have $4,000 or $5,000 stuck in that?
No, you won't have that much.
No.
I'm thinking most of those rolling carts you can get for around $1,500-$1,700, depending on which class it is. When we do the stock Honda class, those are our motors, and at the end of the night, they come off the cart. So nobody can tinker with them at night or on weekends while we're not together. So every motor stays the same that way.
So it's really, truly a race based off of the driver's skill, since basically all of the engines are alike.
That's what we try to do between skill. And then you got a little bit of setup. You want to change air pressure in the tire. You want to change the stagger in the cart as far as turning and stuff. But most of it we want to put back in the driver's hands.
Good. Well, I'll tell you what, Neil, let's take a break, and then we will kind of talk about how this morphed into an Eldora type of a connection, too. So we'll be back right after this.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Brick Street Tavern serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Their weekday lunch menu changes throughout the week and includes homemade pies and soups. On the weekends, they offer evening steak and chicken dinners. And catering services are also available. For more information, call 419-375-4888.
We thank Brick Street Tavern for supporting the Tribe 107.3. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Cooper Farms, family-owned and operated since 1938. With locations in Mercer, Dark, Van Wert, and Paulding counties, Cooper Farms produces a wide variety of turkey, ham, and chicken products, along with table eggs and liquid eggs distributed across North America. They're also proud to give back through community initiatives right here in Northwest Ohio. Learn more at cooperfarms.com. Thanks to Cooper Farms for supporting local athletics and the Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery. K&L Tractor Sales is located on State Route 49 South and carries a variety of new and used farm equipment, including tractors, skid steers, hay tools, tillage and harvesting equipment. You'll find brands like Ferris, Kloss, Great Plains, Salford BVI, Artsway, New Holland, and more. They offer parts and service to keep farm and rural equipment running smoothly. You can learn more at kltractorsales.com.
Thank you to K&L Tractor Sales for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio.
Hello, this is Amy Wendell, Secretary of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce. We would like to invite you to nominate a deserving recipient for the Fort Recovery 2025 Citizen of the Year, 2025 Fort Recovery Hall of Fame, and 2025 Fort Recovery Business of the Year. The nomination forms can be found at Park National Bank, First Financial Bank, Fort Recovery Insurance, Grounded Cafe, the Post Office, or online at frchamber.org under Awards and Recognition. Be sure to get your nomination in by the deadline of February 1st.
We're back.
Yep.
We're back. Insight.
Our headphones are slightly behind real life, so that's why
really?
I pointed at you to go when she was still talking, but the listeners didn't hear that. All they heard was us pausing for a little
bit. Well, we had that same trouble when I was coming over here tonight. I was riding the Polar Express westbound.
Yeah.
So this is Insight, and we're talking to Alan Seyfried from the Racing for Relief group. So, Alan, let's talk about when the Racing for Relief kind of collaborated with Eldora Speedway. How did that happen, and what did that mean to you guys?
It gave us a lot of future avenues to pursue. That started by putting our name in the hat to just help out there back in 2016. 2017, we were full-time out there. So we did a part-time fill-in. Basically just had to put, fill out some paperwork saying they were interested in helping out and turn it in. After that, we just sat on the table and waited for our turn. So with that being said, though, I still remember very vividly back in 2017 getting a phone call Friday about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon from the general manager asking if we can come out there and help sell 50-50. The current group that was there, I think, was struggling to find some people, and this was the biggest race weekend at Eldora Speedway. So, we've got 2 hours, 2.5 hours to find some people.
And are, you talking 6 or 7 people, or are you talking 15 or 20?
It took us 2.5 hours, and we had 40 of them.
Oh, my God.
So, but that's what's nice working with all the area fire department.
Yeah.
You remember all the fire chiefs, Kim Day, Mark Seitz, Frank Miller from Osgood, just all those guys you call up, say, hey, you got somebody that could possibly help. You send that text out, and the opportunity is there. And it didn't take long, and it blows your phone up, and it's like, whoa, who are we going to cut instead of who we going to ask?
That's, you don't like to do that, but that's by far the best thing that can happen.
It is. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
But you're working as one team, and you're pulling all one direction.
So then, you guys kind of came to the rescue on this date, and then what happened?
Again, that was, I'm thinking it was in 2016, and remember back then, too, this is when everybody remembers pulling the old road tickets, just like they do at the basketball games, football games. This was back in that era of that. So when we first started out there, we were carrying tickets around 5 gallon buckets, and then we would get almost every media outlet person that was up in the grandstands area to help tear tickets for 2-3 hours so we can get called back up. So we started pretty decent, but again, that's the busiest weekend of the year, so we were thrown to the wolves. We did a great job that first time. We got Vida right back due on that Saturday as well. And then from that point on, finishing out that season with paper tickets. And again, this is 2017. Well, then after the season was done, that's when the talks of the electronic system was coming in. So that actually was implemented back in 2018. I'm still a member. the very first ticket, the lady from Maine bought the very first ticket. Weird things like that stick in your mind.
Yeah.
But it was a great feeling knowing that what you had and what you jumped into was a huge improvement, selling so many more tickets so much faster with so many less people.
And now you do it on, you know, something that's just like a handheld.
It's about the size of your phone, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really neat. The state of Ohio though still requires us to print the tickets and do a barrel draw. So that's still.
But the person that bought the ticket doesn't have to have the stub. You just have to have the stub to put in the barrel.
Right. When you're purchasing the ticket, it's just like a credit card.
Yeah,
you're getting a paper that has 10 numbers on or 14 numbers on. But on our backside of it, we're printing every ticket that is 2 inches long. So when you're, you know, 40,000-50,000 tickets behind being printed, you better figure out how much you can print and when you got to quit printing or quit selling so you can catch up and print and draw on time. So it was a learning curve for the first 3-4 years. And it's still learning every year. Every race is something slightly different that, hey, you're going to make this change or you're going to make this improvement, either on equipment, the way you set stuff up, or the way you finalize the end of the evening.
Yeah. So then Eldora contacted you guys and said, do you guys want to take this on for all the races?
Yeah, they had Rick and Jenny Delside. They were independent people that ran that. So when we filled our stuff out, we went through them, and they're the ones that went to the higher-ups. Well, then we got that call from the GM saying, hey, you guys want to consider helping us out? You got a list, and we know that how many people, because we told them who we would be using on the initial write-up of paper to give them. So with that all being said, things went out pretty darn smooth when it comes to getting your people lined up with them guys. And then, like I said earlier, then all of a sudden you have the problem of, well, we don't need 40 people. We need 35. How do you get rid of people then?
Yeah.
And keep them happy so they come back for another time.
Yeah.
So there are 26 race nights, let's say, during the Eldora season. So each of those nights, you have to provide anywhere from 30 to 45 people to sell 50-50 tickets.
On small nights, yes, you would get about 15 people.
Okay.
If you consider one of them small nights anymore.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you go to Family Fun Night, which is growing every year. And all of a sudden you're bringing, you know, close to 20 people because it just continually gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Well, then you go to the bigger races where we also hit the campgrounds during the day. And the way we do that is we use the civic groups. The Ambassador Park here in Fort Recovery has a chance to use it. Chickasaw Park has a chance. St. Henry Athletic Boosters has a chance. Brazales KSC and Slaying Lions Club.
Yep.
So it's not, we're just staying in one community. We want to hit as many communities as possible and benefit them somehow.
Yeah, and not burn out all the people in 3 or 4 departments.
That is correct, because they're still training and they're still making all those runs.
Yeah, and obviously they have fun when they go to Eldora and do that, but after 14 times in the same season, it isn't fun anymore. When you're if you ask the same 3 departments all the time, you know, they would get more money, but that somewhere along the line, you gotta have a life.
And that's where it's nice. We let them sign up as many times as they want for the least amount. So here sometime mid late February, we'll all get together saying, this is what we're looking at doing. From that point on, here's the open nights. If you did one last year, you get first chance to do it again this year.
Yep.
From that point on, then you just, I ain't saying you're using as fill-ins, but those who can fill in the open spots accordingly. If they want to add more, they can add more. If they want to say, well, we had too many nights last year, let's get rid of a few.
Yep. is it usually a case where, like, the, you know, Friday night will be all of Fort Recovery Fire Department, and then Saturday might be the St. Henry Fire Department, and, or is there a mix of...
On most of those, there's two or three races that are just a tad smaller, but generally we just ask for six people. Okay. So if we're looking for 12 helpers, we'll get six from Fort Recovery, let's say, and we'll get six from St. Henry or Burgessville, wherever.
Okay.
So now we're only going to mess with two departments instead of saying, well, give me four, but I only need two from you.
Yeah.
You keep it the same. It's so much easier to remember because we have contacts with each department. So when we send a text out, it goes to the designated person. Now it's his job to find whoever on his department that's willing to help that night that is free. So it's all done volunteerism.
Yeah. So Neil, I'll tell you what, let's take another break, and when like we come back, let's talk about how much money this makes and how it gets dispersed to the different agencies. So we'll be back right after this.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Klingshern & Sons Trucking in Burkittsville. For over 50 years, Klingshern & Sons Trucking has been providing a safe workplace for their employees and maintains integrity, fairness, and honesty with their customers and business partners. With their dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers, they provide local and long-haul transportation with on-time delivery. Learn more online about Klingshern & Sons and their employment opportunities at klingshernandsons.com. Their phone number is 937-338-5000.
We thank Klingshern & Sons Trucking for supporting the Tribe 107.3.
Tonight's Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3 is supported by Hull Brothers Case IH, serving farmers and families for more than 125 years. Located in Fort Recovery, Hull Brothers offers new and used tractors from Case IH and Kubota, plus parts and service to keep your equipment running strong. They also carry mowers and outdoor gear from Grasshopper, Cub Cadet, and Toro. Learn more at hullbros.com or call 419-375-2827. Thanks to Hull Brothers for supporting Fort Recovery Athletics and today's broadcast on the Tribe.
Hey. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery, offering bowling, family fun, and a place for the community to gather. Hey, Harry Carey, tell us more.
Hey, they've got lanes for parties and celebrations and open bowling on the weekend. In the kitchen, it's wings, pizzas, sandwiches, wraps, and subs. Plus a pizza wing and salad bar buffet every Friday at lunch. For more information, the number's 419-375-4274.
We thank Miracle Lanes and Fort Recovery for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up this week on the Hometown Huddle, the Tribe 107.3 FM, and FortRecoveryRadio.com. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will host the Minster Wildcats. On Friday, the boys will travel to Minster. Saturday, the boys will travel up to Crestview. Get out to as many games as you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to all the games in person, you can always listen live right here on the Hometown Huddle, the Tribe 107.3 FM, and FortRecoveryRadio.com, the home of the Indians.
We're back talking to Alan Seyfried from the Racing for Relief organization. And Alan, we were talking about the process with the outdoor races and stuff and trying to coordinate this with all the different fire departments. And so at the end of the season, so does Eldora pay you guys like race by race, or is it at the end of the season they give you a certain cut of what was sold?
It's changed slightly. When I say that is because Tony Stewart Foundation, who actually ran the 50-50, not just last year, but the year before, so I'm going to say 2024,
yep.
Then at the end of 2024, the Tony Stewart Foundation closes doors.
Okay.
And that's what became the Eldora Speedway Foundation, started in 2025. So, and before that one Tony Stewart Foundation, we got paid by the season. Now we got it set up where we get paid per race as far as dispersing the funds instead of waiting until the very end.
Okay. So during the course of a season, what does this generate for the Racing for Relief group?
It varies. The more you sell, the more we make.
Yeah.
And there's other small variables with there with equipment and stuff like that. But to go out there and not have a rain out for number one,
yeah.
It's like anything you do, you have a rain out and you're outside. It's heartbreaking for any festival or any event. But with that being said, you know, the World 100 Friday night this past year, we paid out $153,812.
And that's what you paid out?
That's what you paid out.
That means you took in $306,000.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So,
wow.
And then the following night, we end up having $128,061 payout. So in those two nights, there's a lot of cash.
$550,000
or more. Yeah. And again, you know, World 100 is always three nights, so you still had the Thursday night one. I don't remember what that was offhand, but the record out there currently stands at $153,812, and that's payout.
So is that paid out? Like, do you get an envelope with $153,000 in it?
Well, we would all like to see that, but unfortunately, the government's waiting on you.
Yeah,
I'm picturing like the basketball games where they hand you this water cash. It'd be cool to do it with like $153,000. Oh my God, you need a truck to get it home.
Imagine if you win that and you're heading back to a pop-up camper and you're going to put that underneath your pillow and go to sleep that night.
Well, I don't think you'd sleep well.
$153,000, that'd be 1,500 $100 bills.
Yeah.
So it'd be about probably 2 or 3 feet high.
You probably have your pillowcase full. And your pillow out of the case.
So then at the end of the season, the Eldora Speedway Foundation pays the Racing for Relief organization. How much money do you get this year?
I don't remember that number right offhand.
Yeah.
But when we do, we get their money, and then the Eldora Foundation also made a donation to each department.
Oh, how cool.
Oh.
So, you know, the better they do at the end, they get a little bit more
so
money.
So they give you money to distribute to those departments, and they also give the departments some money.
Direct, yes.
Yeah.
So those departments get the money they've always gotten from you, plus money now from the Eldora Foundation instead of the Tony Stewart Foundation.
That is correct.
That's awesome.
So when it was all said and done, they ran everything underneath us because it's a clean path for paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you guys have a banquet, like, is it in early December?
November, first week of November, normally.
And so how much did you distribute at that banquet in November?
I think it was $262,000.
Wow.
Racing go-karts make $262,000.
Yeah.
Well, you also got to remember that we got some awesome sponsors around here.
Yeah.
Business in the out in the county, but it also entails working some of our butts off.
Yes.
At Eldora.
Yes.
You know, selling hours out there. You're at 2,388 hours.
Yeah.
That's selling. That doesn't clean up. That does not set up. And that does not fix things.
Yeah.
So you put some time in.
Yep.
But
man, look at the good you're able to do.
Which would equal, you know, you start selling 2.1, 2.2 million tickets. That's a lot of tickets to go through.
Yeah.
That's a bunch.
Yeah. I've mentioned to several people what you guys do. And I said, just, These guys race go-karts. What do you think? What kind of money do you think they're able to give away? Most guesses are $10,000-$15,000. I said, well, how about $250,000+? And yeah. They, how in the world can you possibly do that? And, you know, you got a great side hustle going on that's, you know, basically fed by you guys doing what you do because you love it, racing go-karts. And then you ended up being a dependable source for somebody that generates a ton of money.
It is, and we go through a ton of people out there, though. You know, when you start lining up people, again, my contacts are about 33 different people.
Yeah.
But throughout the whole season, you're in the upper 500s, low 600s throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
So that might include, you know, Henry or Joe that does it five or six times. That's five or six times that he's in that. But, yeah, so there's a lot of people, but it's a wonderful thing to be out there. You can't find much better people as far as family, friends, racing community. Yeah. It's just great atmosphere.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that is the first time you guys came on and told us how much you made, I just about flipped. I couldn't possibly believe that could be done, and you do it every year. It's just unreal what you guys are able to accomplish with just some guys that said yes when somebody asked you to do something.
You know, the unique thing about that is we were talking earlier before we got on air tonight, we got a group that also helps us. It's the Dark County Fire Chiefs Association, and earlier tonight, it was probably 5:30, 6:00, they released where they finalized the training center, what it was going to look like, and they've got contracts signed and stuff and ready to go. So that's going to be something very unique. It's going to be in Greenville, but it's going to be unique because the emergency agencies that want to use it and help further their education and get live training scenarios are now able to do so, because burning the house down is not as common anymore because of all the stuff you got to cut through.
So you said that any departments, are you talking about anywhere around or just any of them in Dark County?
No, I think you can just about anybody that wants to participate in using it. How they're going to go about doing it, if they belong to a Dark County Fire Chiefs Association or Mercer County, or if you're not associated with them, they may say, well, we're going to charge X amount of dollars to use this, but...
Yeah, but it's still a lot cheaper than trying to figure out how to get all that training yourself.
Yes. When you're talking that magnitude of training, again, you can't find those live scenarios to comfort those firefighters in so that when it's an actual scene, they feel so much safer.
And more real, too. I mean, it's amazing to think when you distribute a $250,000, okay, and when you think about how small fire departments can go and buy valuable tools, machines, or the jaws of life, or a grain rescue type thing, and what a difference that money makes to departments that are the size of most of them that are in the area.
Yeah, because you're talking maybe 20 to 30 people in a department.
Yeah.
It's not like everybody's got overwhelming financial woes to say, we got extra here, extra there. You know, you got to replace your stuff, especially your trucks, and the cost of that equipment anymore is just astronomical.
It really is. It's incredible. I can't remember which department was getting some $800,000 for their truck. And that's probably not a big deal. I mean, a big cost. There's some of them that are a lot more than that.
And when they do get the truck, guess what? You still got to put the equipment on there.
Yep.
You can't drive around with an empty truck.
Yep.
So, Neil, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about one of the fundraisers that you've got that is coming up. And I think you do this about every year, and we'll be bowling for dollars soon. So we'll be back right after this.
That was a good teaser, Jack.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Recovery Insurance Agency Incorporated.
As an independent agency, Fort Recovery Insurance works with providers like Buckeye State Mutual, Nationwide, Progressive, Indiana Farmers, Donegal, Ohio Mutual, Acuity, Safeco, and Hagerty, offering insurance options for vehicles, homes, farms, life, and health.
We thank Fort Recovery Insurance Agency for supporting the Tribe 107.3 WFRC LP.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Reasoner Energy Products in Coldwater, installing and servicing products from Trane HVAC, Generac Generators, and Mitsubishi Electric Ductless Systems. Reasoner Energy Products is proud to support community growth through quality service and local commitment. Learn more by visiting their location at 445 Hardin Street in Coldwater or online at ReasonerEnergyProducts.com. Their phone number is 419-678-4858.
We thank Reasoner Energy Products for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Wayne IGA in downtown Fort Recovery. Wayne IGA offers a full-service meat counter with fresh-cut steaks, a full-service deli, and a grab-and-go selection of store-made salads, subs, and ready-to-eat meals. You'll also find fresh fruits and vegetables, plus a variety of party trays, including veggie and meat and cheese trays. Stop by for quality meats, fresh produce, and convenient meals made for busy days. Find more at WayneIGA.com or call 419-375-2865. Thanks to Wayne IGA for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
The Fort Recovery Knights of Columbus, Council 3324, are again sponsoring their annual free throw contest, and all boys and girls ages 9 to 14 are invited to compete. The event is free, and it will be held at the high school gym on Sunday afternoon, January 25th at 4:30, and the doors will open at 4 o'clock for practice. The competition will take less than an hour. 9, 10, and 11-year-olds will shoot from 12 feet, and 12, 13, and 14-year-olds will shoot from the standard 15-foot foul line. Trophies will be awarded for all age groups for both boys and girls, and the winners in each category will advance to the district free throw contest in early February with a chance to move on to regional, state, and national competitions. The sign-up forms are available the day of the contest, or you can email glefever@bright.net. Come and join the fun at the KFC's annual free throw contest held at the high school gym on Sunday afternoon, January 25th, with the contest starting at 4:30.
Rocker, you let me know when Neil points to you.
We're back.
Insight. We're talking to Alan Seifring from the Racing for Relief organization, and these guys, I mean, not just through their go-kart practices, but in November, they distributed over $280,000 to local EMS and fire department groups, and it's just a fantastic way to help out our neighbors. You know, even if they're not on the fire department, we all use them.
Yes,
you know.
It's a great feeling though, because we're all family and friends, and it's just a matter of when's that time come when they have to help one of ours.
Yeah. So we've got an event coming up that I think you guys have done this every year for a few years, correct?
I ran this one now since 2009.
Oh, geez.
So we have a bowling fundraiser coming up. We used to have it here in Miracle Lanes.
Yep.
Great bowling alley. Just not quite big enough to get enough people in one shift. So back, we just started the first 6, 7, 8 years, and we were over there, and we did one whole weekend.
Yeah.
So you spend your time at Miracle Lanes for 3 shifts on a Saturday and 2 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, so much nicer. We moved it to Playmore Lanes, where we can get by with 16 teams at a time and do 3 shifts.
Yeah. And get all done in one day, probably, I'm guessing.
Well, I'm sorry. We did 3 different time slots on 2 weekends.
Oh, okay.
We moved out about 2 weeks or 2 years ago because a lot of people say, well, I can't do it because I got a wedding this Saturday. Well, what about the weekend before? Sure, I can do that.
Yeah.
So it's more universal for the people that have weddings and gatherings and what's going on. So it gives them another option.
Yeah. So you, are you still taking teams for?
We are still taking teams. The first day is going to be Saturday, January 24th. Starts at 7:30. If you go to racingforrelief.com, the information is on there. It's on Facebook.
I think it's .org.
Correct. Standard.
Yes. Yes.
You are correct.
So, but if you start typing it in, it's going to pop up. But yeah.
But we do it on the 24th, and then we do it the following January 30th, which is a Friday. And then we do it follow January 31st on that Saturday. To this day, you know, we went through well over 3,200 bowlers come through here already.
Oh, wow.
And it's just unique because you always lose a couple, but you always get them new ones that want to do it. And then when they do, like, I want to come back and do that again. Yeah. As long as you change things up from year to year a little bit, they like it because they don't want stagnant.
Yeah.
They want something different. Hey, what are we doing this year? I want to come and see what you're going to do. So you also, you know, but we only do two games.
Yep.
You have the chance to do, you know, 50-50. You have chances to win different prizes on tip books and stuff like that. So it's optional on those different stands.
Yep.
But it's really neat to be in a more laid-back conversation with the emergency personnel. I know on the 31st, that's usually one of them nights where the emergency personnel fill the place.
Yeah.
Six people to a lane, so you get 96 people in there. And you get to really talk and see each other and learn the side of things you don't see on the other side. You know, Eldora is a little bit different. Go-karting's racing is a little different because they're on the safety end of stuff and don't get into that part of it. But now you can go talk to all of them and see what the true side of everybody is.
And yep. Is it safe to say that the majority of the bowlers that you get will be from, you know, one of the local departments?
There's probably 16, probably 19 or 20 teams. So you're talking 120 bowlers.
Yeah.
Generally, the other 60 to 80 are go-kart teams. Yeah. Or volunteers or
general public.
General public that say, hey, I did this last year, or I talked to so-and-so, I want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
And that's where our pitch is tonight. If anybody out there that's interested and still can sign up,
yep,
just get a hold of Alan Seifering, email or Facebook message. We can get you a team. If you only got three or four, we'll prorate the entry fee. But if you can get six, that works better for everybody the way we got stuff set up.
Yep. So to just make sure that everybody knows, the webpage is racing4relief.org, and the Facebook page is Racing for Relief with the four spelled out. So,
F-O-R?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the number four everywhere.
Oh, okay.
So we're number consistent.
Okay, so the Racing for Relief on the Facebook page is Racing F-O-U-R Relief. Okay.
We're going to check it out here
okay.
real quick.
But if you start typing in, it's going to come up. I mean, it's... now, if you're in Timbuktu, it might not, but around here, it's going to come up. So, and they have connections on there to whatever you're trying to do. So, can you read it, Jack?
No.
I was just showing you that training center on there.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Approximately where is that going to be at Greenville? Is that determined for sure yet, or is it too early to actually sort of announce?
I don't want to be wrong, but yep. I'm going to say the southeast corner of Greenville.
Okay. Yep, that makes sense. That's kind of where, in my head, that's where some space seems to be that could be used. But, yeah, there's probably other places too, but...
I just like to be able to help fundraise for it again because of who it's all going to provide training to.
Yeah.
So let's touch on the dates of this bowling outing one more time.
So that will start this coming a week from this Saturday.
Yep.
January 24th, January 30th, and January 31st. All shifts start at 7:30. Again, we asked for six people, but if you only got five or four, we'll be more than happy to accommodate accordingly. We know that there's only one shift left open, or one lane on that last shift left open. So first come, first serve. Other than that, the other ones, we've got enough room as of tonight that we ain't got to worry about it yet.
Fantastic. And as part of this, I think on the last night, I think you're going to be joined for the winner of the raffle tickets, correct?
Yes, we got 1,300 tickets passed out throughout three different counties. That will take place immediately following the last shift of bowling, usually about 9:45, 10 o'clock.
Fantastic. Well, Alan, is there anything that we haven't covered yet?
No. It's just been a great year for us. It's, it's just really phenomenal to be able to work with all these departments. You know, we get along with Montezuma, Southwest Mercer, Burgessville, Chickasaw, St. Henry, Osgood, Versailles, New Bremen, Liberty Township, Coldwater, Minster, NARSTAR, Dark County Fire Chiefs Association. That is strictly fire departments.
Yeah.
And then the EMS is the Southern Mercer County Joint Ambulance District, the Coldwater EMS, and the Osgood EMS. Then our civic groups is the Fort Recovery Ambassador Park here in town, Salina Lions Club, St. Henry Boosters, Versailles KSC. So out of those is that 23 groups. And then the waiting list.
Yeah. Well, so, Alan, I tell you what, we as a community, as I guess clients of the various fire departments and EMSs, we certainly thank you for, you know, what you've done, what your group has done. You know, in your own way, you've helped make everybody a little bit safer, and that's a great thing.
And you have it in your heart, and you surround with people around you, you know, good things happen.
Yeah.
You know. And the 280,000 is just, that's just a phenomenal number. That is a crazy amount of money to be able to give to first responder type groups. It's just, and those things are important. Do you know anything right off the top of your head that was really important that was able to be purchased with some of the money you've given, or is that something that it kind of gets thrown in with some other stuff and then they're able to go buy?
Once these departments buy stuff, we ask for pictures and invoices because we pass them on to Tony Stewart Foundation when they were in existence. Now we pass them on to Eldora. The funny thing is, some of this stuff, we are like a liaison between those departments because they don't know which one's got what, and they get talking. Unfortunately, there was an accident down south that the grain bin rescue tubes were an early on purchase from Mercer County, and somebody needed one. And, you know, unfortunately, the outcome was not good yet, but without it, you wouldn't have had a chance to start with.
Yeah.
So between that and there's a big training trailer, it's either stored here at Fort Recovery or over at St. Henry.
Lots of times it is,
So with that being said, that's one of the major purchases as well.
Well, and I saw there was some group, I think it may have been Osgood, that was doing an ice rescue type thing, and I think that they were using some of the equipment that was purchased with this too. So,
and that's what's nice. We try to do it once every 2 years at Family Fun Night at Eldora. We put on a show where any equipment that was purchased, people can come out there and look at it. They can talk to the fire and EMS, but they also get to see it in action. So they do pond rescues that day.
Wow.
They do let kids shoot water, and they think that's the easiest thing.
Oh, it is.
So there's things that we try to coordinate with the public because they bought it. Let them see what it is. And it's a lot more meaningful that way.
Yep. It's just a fantastic thing that you kind of fell into, but because you were willing to help out and did a great job, ended up being kind of in charge of being able to do the 50-50s and get important money for our emergency responders. It's just a fantastic thing.
It's too good to pass up.
Yeah.
Do you need 50-50 workers?
Currently, we have a waiting list. We try to offer to the emergency personnel first, but you always have openings that open up, and we open it to the emergency personnel that's already signed up to give them more chances, or we go to the waiting list and say, hey, these are the spots that are open. you choose what you want, if you want to send two or three people. But normally, again, we start getting into a lot of that. We like to hit the six at a time, because if there's a rain out or something happens where it's pushed back a little bit, now all of a sudden you got to start calling all these people. And it's a lot easier to call 10 or 12 people than it is 40.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, well, Alan, I tell you what, we thank you for your time tonight. We thank you for your service over the years. I know you've been involved in this for a long time, and it takes a lot of time, energy, and dedication to you pull it off, especially for as many years as you've been doing it.
So. It's been fun, though. It's always nice coming back here, but we need to give you guys a shout out as well for your Christmas gala. Unfortunately, I was not feeling well that night, so I could not make it over, but yeah. I watched it. and that's just a phenomenal thing you guys are doing as well.
It's a lot of fun, and it's just five stupid guys doing really stupid stuff. So, but
and a bunch of really good singers.
Yeah,
but yeah,
yeah. So I'll tell you what, Neil. Let's take a break, and we'll get Rockler on. And
yep.
And Alan, thanks for coming, bud.
Hey, thanks for the invite, and maybe we can set something up for next year again.
Yep, we definitely want to do that.
Hey, thank you.
Let me know when it's a good time for you, and we will do everything we can to get that date for you. All righty.
We'll be back after this.
With Rocker.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Site Fuel in Fort Recovery. Right on the corner of Fort Site Street and State Route 49, Fort Site Fuel is your local stop for top-tier gasoline and ultra-low sulfur diesel. It's self-serve, open 24/7, and their pumps take all the major credit cards. Easy and convenient, day or night.
We thank Fort Site Fuel for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from CSG Consulting. Aisha, they help businesses and individuals build smart strategies using financial modeling and analysis. CSG assists with keeping an eye on performance, managing business dashboards, and analyzing budget differences. They also help adjust strategies and manage change, because what worked before might not work tomorrow. Their focus is on understanding all the moving parts in your operation to keep everything balanced and on track. You can learn more at csgconsulting.us or call 419-852-4049 or 614-551-4631. Thank you, CSG Consulting, for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
The Friends of the Library will be having a used book sale at the library Monday, January 12th through Saturday, January 17th. Here's your chance to shop for a nice selection of used books, audiobooks, and DVDs for all ages and interests. Items will be available for a free will donation. Proceeds from the sale will be used to purchase materials and equipment for the library. And if you have books that you no longer need and would like to share them with the community, donations are now being accepted from the public. They are accepting books, audiobooks, and DVDs, and they must be clean and in good condition. And please, no encyclopedias, magazines, textbooks, or VCR tapes. Head up to the library Monday, January 12th through Saturday, January 17th during their normal library hours to find some treasures during their used book sale.
We're back. Insight. It's Rocker time.
Yes.
Do you know what today is?
Wednesday.
January 14th.
Today is National Dress Your Pet Up Day.
Oh, God, I hate that stuff.
So do you...
I don't have a pet.
And you don't have a pet? But I think back in the day, didn't your dad and mom kind of...
We had Mickey, yes.
Yeah, and didn't Mickey wear a jacket sometimes?
No, he hated that.
Tuxedo.
No.
Oh, not a tuxedo?
No, he was not a fan of that.
Huh.
So Rucker, I've got some 80s TV trivia for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
I figured this would be right up your alley.
Right up my wheelhouse.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so you got the game today?
Yeah.
You don't have nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
He has the answers.
Well, okay? We hope.
All right. These are TV shows from the 80s.
Are we allowed to shout it out before Rocker, or we have to wait for him to answer?
Rocker gets the first shot.
Yeah.
Darn, I like to interrupt.
So, okay.
Did I tell you I like to interrupt?
No. First question. The Seaver family.
Yes.
Mike, Carol, and Ben.
And Tom. Tom Seaver.
We're all members of what show?
Okay.
Come on.
There's
Cincinnati Reds.
No.
Huh? New York Mets?
He's killing me.
I know it.
Because there's the...
Is it a show we've heard of, Jack?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get it mixed up with the other one.
Yeah.
They'll say them both. That way you're right.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains is correct.
I didn't want to. The first thing that comes to mind is Family Ties, and that's Michael J. Fox.
So, who was the dad?
Alan Thicke.
Very good. All right. If you were in the house, okay, with Blair, Joe, Natalie, and Tootie.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. What TV show was that on?
Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. He's two for two, ladies and gentlemen. The Facts of Life.
By the way, my favorite was Tootie.
Tootie.
Shocking.
That is close. Okay.
Blur.
This is probably the toughest question that I've got.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Carla on Cheers.
Yes.
Okay. Had how many kids on the last season? She was the mother of how many?
That's a crap ton. I know that.
No, the crap ton is right. That is not what I have written down, though.
I'm going to say at least six.
You're right. It is at least six. It is eight. She was the mother of eight. Okay.
I had no idea. I watched every episode of Cheers. The first season and season and a half, they were on three different times on five different nights. And I watched every episode. And that was before there was those VCRs and stuff.
On the TV show Alice.
Oh, yes.
Where did Alice work?
Mel's Diner.
Very good.
What city was that in?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Yep.
Very good.
I even knew that.
If you were going out on a Friday night with Michael Knight and Kit, what TV show are you
Knight
on?
Knight Rider.
Oh, what kind of car was it?
Black one.
Black, yes.
A black
Trans Am, I believe is what it was.
Pretty sure that's correct. I never watched the show, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
What did Dick Loudon do for a living?
Owned an inn in Vermont.
Very good. Innkeeper.
Well, I don't think I knew his name on the show.
Bob Newhart.
Yep.
Tony, Angela, Mona, and Sam were in what household on what TV show?
Who's the boss?
Oh, dang. During the 80s, okay, this is a tough one. During the 80s, what sitcom won the most Emmys?
Ooh.
During the 80s, what sitcom won the most Emmys?
I'm going to have to say probably Cheers.
The correct. So Tide, Taxi, and Golden Girls.
Ooh, I forgot about Taxi.
Ooh. Cheers won three. Ooh, you were correct.
That's what I said.
All right. Ooh. This is the other
Tough one.
Tough one.
Okay. He's got them all.
Yeah, he missed one.
No.
Okay. Which show featured cousins Larry and Balky?
Perfect Strangers.
Yeah. God, I couldn't remember the name.
That was one that I thought he wouldn't get.
I.
What was the name of the one guy?
Daryl. And his brother, Daryl.
His real life name.
Oh.
Bronson Pinchot.
Well, I'm going to have to get a different.
Actually, I got a question for you guys.
Hey, what was Bronson Pinchot's famous movie of him?
Was he in Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, the first one.
Well, he was the gay
guy,
but that wasn't his big.
That's actually the only one I know he was in.
Yeah, that's
Carrie.
Huh?
Carrie. He was in Carrie. I
did not know.
Who? Yep.
Huh. I'll be darned.
All right. This is the last question. Name the four Golden Girls.
Okay.
Blanche. Harpo, Groucho, Chico, and Zeppo.
Close, but no cigar.
I know one of them because it's a crossword puzzle every once in a while.
Plus, he said one of them.
Groucho?
Who'd you say?
Well, I never got in and out.
I know.
You said Blanche.
Yeah.
Blanche, Rose.
Yep, the only other one I knew.
Dorothy and Sophia.
He's on it today.
I got to give it up for him.
All right.
You gave him the questions ahead of time, didn't you, Jack?
No. I've got four musical artists who died. Okay. Give me the month and year that each of them died. Okay?
This will be fun.
John Denver.
Rocky Mountain.
I'll bet he doesn't come within 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
John Denver, I would assume that was... October of 97.
I gotta say, it's gotta be later because he died skiing. I was gonna say.
No.
That was Sonny Bono.
That was Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono.
No.
You know what the tree said to Sonny Bono? I got you, babe.
So what day, what month and year did you say?
He was off.
It was
October of 97.
What did he say? September of 96?
Yeah.
I said 97.
He said October. Ray Charles.
Oh, he haven't got...
No, you're right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Ray Charles.
Ooh.
My wife needs a dress and my baby needs shoes and I'm busted.
Okay. I'm going to go with June of 04.
I hate him.
No, that ain't right, is it?
Yes, June 10th, 2004.
Now, the people listen, this crazy bastard has not got any help.
No.
Aretha Franklin, show us a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Well, that was not too long ago. Right.
Yeah, like last week, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
29.
What?
No, it wasn't 2029.
Oh, not there yet.
I wish it was. She'd still be alive.
I would say... Because she's on parade for a month.
Yeah, she was. This is her last tour. She's dead. Yeah.
They changed her outfit 17 times. Yep. Stop. I'm going to say July of 2021.
Oh, we got him. We got him bad.
Yeah.
August of 18.
Ooh. So that's been 8 years.
Wasn't that?
Seven and a half.
Very close.
Yeah.
And finally, David Bowie.
Well, that one I do know. January of 2016.
Of what?
2016.
No, it was January of 2016.
That's what I said. 2016.
2016.
What did you say?
2016.
Yeah, that's what
he said. 2015.
He did not.
He needs to enunciate.
Because this is that's the same year. Because he had a birthday, and then he's dead the next day.
No, he was born on was born on January 15th.
You're killing me, Smalls.
January 8th is when he was born.
Okay. Actually, I got a trivia for you.
All right, go ahead, bud.
What famous director?
You can't ask me directors.
No, you'll get...
Francis Ford Coppola.
You gotta let me finish the question first.
That's the only director you can think of, so that's gonna be his answer.
Famous director directed the first episode of Columbo, the pilot episode.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, it'd be a little talk because he was dead.
Well, how do you know? When did he die?
1980.
Steven Spielberg.
Yes, you got her.
Huh?
You got her.
Hey. It only took me three.
Well, yeah, you process of elimination. By the way, I believe May of 1980?
April 29th. Close. So almost May.
Yeah.
Almost May. So.
Buried it.
For next week, okay?
You won't be here, or will you?
Yeah, he'll be here.
I won't be here, will I?
No, you won't.
I'll be off for... Yeah. I won't see you again until...
Till March.
You'll be, you know, pressing your nipples down Naples or whatever. Well, we'll be...
I'll see Robbins before I see you next, Robin. Robin.
Yeah. Say hello to Batman for me then. Ooh, something got better.
Bobby, who's on
Mean Feet?
All Stars. What do you mean? Oh.
The best.
Couldn't get Larry Bird.
So stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bubba and V, right after these important messages.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show.